Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Talking about your bits. Welcome. Maybe you turn that off, mate, because that sounds like we're in some kind of bathroom together.
You know I don't go anywhere without my vibrator. Ain't gonna turn it off.
So this is episode 148. Due to a stupid fucknut called James Mackay, he put out two 146s.
Do you think anybody noticed?
Actually, I reckon he's at home now, just banging his head on the wall going, I did mistake. He's not here again. We don't know where he is. He went to the tomato festival and got killed. Because he's allergic to tomatoes.
Is he?
I don't know.
No, he's not.
He's got some kind of allergies.
Yeah, but that, again,
he got allergies.
Life. No.
Why not?
Because I'm an immigrant.
Yeah, but you could have some, like... What's hip? Peanuts. Still hip, isn't it?
I don't think that's ever been hip. I think it's been killable hip.
Have you ever seen anyone have a peanut attack?
Yeah, but small ones, but I haven't seen the real danger ones. But one of my best mates, he's allergic to everything, so he used to have this adrenaline thingy, so he showed us how to use it on him and
like
stuff
Pulp
like that.
Fiction.
Yeah, but it wasn't... It was like one you keep in your pocket. So it's kind of, it's Pulp Fiction one, it was more like a real kind of fucking
like dagger one.
Yeah. This one was just, you know, it's just pretty broad. In the end, it's like an insulin shot.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's similar to that. So yeah, no, but I never saw him have an actual attack, but I've seen other ones, but it's really common in Sweden. I remember though, I never had allergic a reaction, but I was a kid. My mom used to make these fucking, you know, like it was made of cock, of coconut.
Of cock?
Not of cock. That was my dad made that for me. It was coconut, you know, you do some like some kind of fucking pastry, but with coconut, right? And I got so tired of it. My mom used to make something and made it like every day for a year and the next year and every... And one time I got sick for some reason, so they thought it was that. So after that, I was allergic to coconut for like so typical like Indian Pakistani thing. Oh, can't eat that. Oh, he's allergic. He gets sick. So
he sneezed
out. So
I
didn't eat the shit for 2 years, coconut, in any form. It's like, no, it's coconut juice. He's allergic to coconut. And I was like,
move him away.
I didn't get tired of that. I just realized, like, I'm not allergic to coconut. I knew I wasn't allergic to coconut, but then I just ate it because I thought it was good again. I was like, no, it's gone. It's gone. I'm good now.
Well, I'm happy. I don't know if many people
asthma.
Are. Asthma.
Asthma.
I got asthma. I'm happy that you're alive. That's all. That's all I wanted to say. That's the nicest thing I'm ever going to say to you.
Yeah, that's really sad, actually. That's the nicest thing.
It is. It's true as well. I'm just happy you're still here.
What are you allergic to?
Racism.
Wow.
No, I'm allergic to it.
Okay.
It irritates me.
Yeah, but...
I come up in a rash.
But the thing is, when you eat something, you don't know it's a peanut in it, and you're allergic to peanuts, you'll get a reaction. But if somebody says they're racist, you don't realize it, you won't get a reaction, would you? So you're not really allergic to it, are you? It's not like you're walking there, some guy across the street says something, you're like, oh, fucking, sorry, itch in my butt. You know, it's like...
For 2 years, I wasn't allowed. Every time there was racism, they were like, no. So, let's have a look at the football. I sort of, you know, it was kind of, again,
a bit ridiculous that they get back into playing football now. But
the internationals.
Internationals, yeah.
Yeah, it's absolutely, absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah.
So fucking stupid.
And some of the teams are now straight into like World Cup qualifiers. We saw some predictable results. Spain hammered Liechtenstein.
Yeah.
I think Scotland 5-1 in Malta.
It wasn't really any big games the first or second day, to be honest. I mean,
yeah, and the qualifying is, I mean, one of the interesting results was Kazakhstan, Poland. Poland were 2-0 up, and I thought that was quite an interesting result.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, because Poland regarded as the better team, they were. But maybe it's just because the European Championship just finished. It's just so on top of it. It's just so long to go to the World Cup. It's 2 years. They got a lot of time to, you know, save some results. Maybe they've gone bad, but
in South America, they've been playing for a while as well in their tournament.
Yeah, but it seems like they play all the time because the Copa America comes much more often than our tournaments does. And then they have the qualifying, of course, who has to last for 4 years, you know.
Yeah.
So it's a bit weird with Latin America because basically all half the team qualifies for the World Cup, and then all the teams qualify for the Copa. So they seem to have even more of these competitive games than we have in Europe, kind of, which is...
Yeah, but do you think it's like... I mean, New Zealand's group at the moment, I think they have to play, like, Fiji and Farmers, and then they get... Now they have to play, like, the fourth from the CONCACAF, which is, like, El Salvador, all those kind of teams there. So we're going to be out, you know. I don't think they'll get through. I think Australia... Is back in it as well.
As Australia just saw in the court, Japan suffered a shocking result against Emirates.
Oh, United
and,
Emirates.
Yeah, and they scored another Panenka. They lost time to beat them as well, but they lost at home. So that was a really bad result for them. They're still on par on qualifying, but put some pressure on them.
Yeah.
And Saudi Arabia had a win as well. So Asia is difficult now because Australia comes there as well. It's a huge traveling distances for those teams. I mean, you're talking about Middle Eastern team going to Eastern Asia because usually the big teams are Japan, Korea, and then Australia. And then it's all across that all area to the Middle East where you have like these decent teams like Iraq and Saudi Arabia and stuff. So it's weird. And in between, it's the nations who always never qualifies to the second stage, which is India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, Myanmar.
I'm always surprised by those big countries like India, China.
China is making a huge effort now, both domestically with the league, of course, that will change. And now even the result, they were down 3-0 against Korea. And they were strolling, and then they went 3-1, 3-2, and really almost equalized. And I read some of the report afterwards as well, said that both teams was China was kind of satisfied to see that they can perform against these big teams. And Korea was relieved, but still was a bit shocked about the disappointment. But China all coming slowly. And same thing, I think, with India, with the new Super League. I mean, the sport is getting much bigger in those countries. But contrary to what people say, that football is not that big in India because cricket is big. So it is big.
Yeah,
it is really big there. But we'll see. I mean, it needs infrastructure. It needs money. And then it needs some talent to just emerge and not choose any other sport, choose football, and then leave India.
Because
I think that will help if this will go to foreign country. I mean, they got to produce any player. I mean, that will be enough. Look at Japan and Korea. They started to produce like 1, 2, 3 players who went to Europe. And then the whole country changed, kind of how you look at them, how much you produce. And China will probably go
It's a bit similar. Like the American, the young guy.
Pulisic.
Dormant, yeah. What do you know about him? I don't know much.
He came through last year, kind of had his breakthrough. He started playing for the American team. I think he made his debut already at 16, 17 years of age now. One of these big, big talents of Dortmund. They have so many of them at Dortmund. Ousmane Dembele as well, who's considered one of the most talented players in Europe, and Pulisic. And Pulisic probably, Americans, if you listen to them, even Soccernet or wherever you go, they will say that this is probably their biggest talent. That age group. But they've been really cautious with him. It's been a big discussion in America why he didn't play against St. Vincent. He came on In like 60th minute, scored two goals, set one up. And for the other fellow Americans, a youngster as well. So I think this is the first player that they really feel like he can go and become something big in European clubs.
Because they've had decent, I mean, ones that have played Premier League, you know.
Yeah, Clint Dempsey was fine.
Howard was, you know.
Howard been good. Oh, yeah. You must say that probably their most experienced player is probably is Howard, because he's played in the Champions League for Manchester United. He had a good career in top level in Premier League.
Yeah.
So many caps. So I think he's probably the most kind of decorated when it comes to experience. And then Landon Donovan from their own league, MLS kind of. But then it's not that many. I mean, Altidore had a swing here, didn't really work it out, still haven't nailed this place 100% in the national team. But I think Pulisic is the one they'll build the team around. And the discussions now is and they're talking about they take it slow, like they burn too many players too early in the American team. Like all of these players we just mentioned, Landon Donovan, Freddie Adu, because they seem so talented, they start playing in national team from 16, 17, 18, very early. Adu was never 16. When he was 16, he was 21.
Yeah.
I mean, for sure. Come on. He peaked at 23. He looked like 22 when I saw the interview when he was 14. That was the most ridiculous shit I've seen in my entire life.
Yeah.
It was absolutely ridiculous. It was like a Oprah 60 Minutes, some shit. And it was so stupid. He was like, oh, and they think I'm 14. It was a man sitting there and pretending me 14. It was absolutely ridiculous. It was so stupid.
Like you have done in nightclubs.
No, it's like if I go and sit down now and say I'm 18, it's like, yeah, you know, I got grey hair a bit early. Yeah. It's, you know, ridiculous. It's just, you look at the guy, what the fuck is he talking about? He's Benjamin Button, what the fuck?
How about Kosovo? New team, new country?
Yeah, we read that it was 6 players who got the green light to actually play.
For dual national.
Yeah, because they played for another national team, of course. But because Kosovo is a new country, so if you're eligible to play for that country, you are actually... You can just switch, even if you played 100 caps for
Albania. This was the game against Finland.
Yeah.
And there was 4 or 5 of them that had played for Albania.
Yeah.
One of them had played for Norway and was trying to swap.
Berisha,
yeah. And they got a point.
A point. 5 hours before kickoff, they were green light. I mean, they've been training with them, of course. Yeah. But 5 hours, there was the green light came 5 hours. And they even asked for Granit Xhaka to change as well. Yeah. Plays for Switzerland, his brother plays for Albania.
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting there, see which players they can get over.
Do you reckon there was a green light there, though?
Yeah, I think he came in with a green light.
Yeah. Have you ever seen a green light, apart from a traffic light, a green light say, oh, you've got the green light?
Hmm.
You haven't, have you?
No, I think red light. Yeah. I've seen red light, I've seen, you know, white, regular white light. But when
Have you seen the light?
Yeah, when you're dying, you know.
Have you died and come back?
Only due to sex.
Talking of technology and everything, video technology used in the...
Friendly.
Yeah.
Last week against France and Italy.
There's another talking point I want to bring up apart from that, but let's go to the video technology on this game.
I think it's funny because this is actually exactly what we discussed.
Mate, we're ahead of the time.
Early on in the pod.
Yeah.
Where I said that I wanted...
Episode 32, actually.
Well, hopefully that's correct.
When you said you were 14.
I was 14 back then. But the thing is, we wanted to have, like, the... What we discussed is this. People always say video technology will slow up the game. So, the counter question then, to try to appease these conservative fans, is what is a long time? A minute? Way too long. Okay, 30 seconds? Way too long. Well, if you come down to maybe... I think 10 seconds is reasonable, but even if 10 seconds is too long, I think definitely 5 seconds is reasonable, because 5 seconds you get only by players fucking berating the referee. That takes usually half a minute.
Yeah, yeah.
So if they are allowed to talk to the ref without anybody being sent off or yellow carded constantly before yellow, if there's an incident but ref has to talk 35 seconds with players because they're talking with him and they're not the captains, if he doesn't give 3 yellow cards, that means the 30 second it's fine.
Yeah.
So that means that 5 to 10 seconds should be completely okay for them. So what they did during this game is they had a couple of guys, 2 guys, sitting, watching the game, having contact with the referee, of course, watching the game on telly. There was a handball situation in the penalty area, and during that time, ref quickly started listening to them. They had like 5 seconds on them. They checked it. During the everybody was screaming, "Oh, handball, no handball!" They just told him, "No, it's not a handball. He just went and said, no, it's not handball, continue. Nobody even noticed it.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. If you put a time limit on it, like saying that everything within 5 seconds, if they don't hear anything from the...
Could you have it like where it's... We're going up to the top room, but carry on playing and then bring the ball back.
I think that will never happen. I think that's the problem. I think they don't want that. The two things people don't want that are against it, the conservative ones, are this. Either that it will slow up play, that means that they are going to take a corner, but instead of taking the corner, the ref is saying, wait a minute, I'm going to listen. And then they say, okay.
You know when you do okay. The mime, they can't see that. But the thing you put your finger in your ear and you put your hand up.
But the stupid thing with that is, if there's a corner, right?
Yeah.
But some people are saying it might have been a handball before that. While they go out to take the corner, it will take 10 seconds anyway. Why can't them during that time not overrule that? Ah, it's not a corner. That. But they don't want that either, right? They don't want that small even hesitation.
Yeah.
So for me, it's simple. Whenever anything happens, they usually a couple of seconds of, you know, screaming or whatever, complaining, like there's a cricket or whatever sport. 5 second rule. If they don't come up with a decision 5 seconds, go. That means that you're watching the game, it hits the hand, and people go up with the hand, they quickly don't continue the video, they just go back, look at it in slow motion.
4, 5.
It's a handball.
Good call, Adil Fakih.
And that's what they did, and they tried that, and now they are trying this in national cups all over the world, actually.
Yeah.
Doing countries.
Well, I think they're trying it in Bundesliga.
They're doing the cups in German...
Yeah. Australian A-League as well.
German Bundesliga, Australian A-League, the League and Cups in Portugal, Major League Soccer, Italian Serie A.
Yeah.
They would have experimentals of this during games. I don't know what games. Or
he's all for it, isn't he, old?
That's what I love about it. And the thing is
old
that...
Old Reinfeld's
even
brother.
Even if he was a corrupt bastard now, like Blatter, at least he does something for the fucking football.
Oh! You can't say that, mate.
No, but I think that video technology would help extreme lot to take off corruption in the sport as well. I mean, they're coming stuff up now with Halsey saying...
El Salvador, did you hear about this? They were going to have a bribe. They turned down a bribe to throw one of the World Cup games. One of the referees in the Premier League said...
Yeah, Halsey, he said that now, that they've been encouraged to say they didn't see the incident, so they can punish them... after the game.
Yeah.
And then they said, no, it's not from the FA, but it's from the play the referee organization, blah, blah. So we're standing here in a very peculiar situation now, because now they're coming up. I mean, there have been reports for years of matches that are fixed, and you think, no, it doesn't happen. Well, it happens. In big leagues, big teams, national team, it happens. It's unbelievable to understand that so many players can be involved, but sometimes it's just one or two players or just a ref who's involved, or maybe the coach. So it's not 30 players who's involved in it. Most of them don't even know that they're in a rigged game. But with this, of course, it will help. So who wants not to be able to show proof? Well, of course, the one who rigs the games. Why wouldn't they? Why would they want to have something like... Because you can just say a referee, you can just make a bad call, and you can just say, oh, the ref didn't see it. You can say that because there's so many mistakes in game. If there was only one mistake every 20 games, then, you know, you would start wondering, why the fuck did he have 4 mistakes that game? And then you would say, he's bribed. Now you can't, because you can just blame it on a bad day, the players are screaming at him. It's bullshit.
Yeah.
So we need this.
How about this for change the game, right?
All right.
One of these off-ball incidents.
Okay.
Right? It gets seen upstairs.
Mm.
Then they say, put him in the cage, right?
Okay.
And then they decide while he's in the cage, they go, yes, definite. He's got a 2-game ban for that. Or they go, but if he sits out for this game now, maybe we can knock it down to 1. So there's a bit of like...
Yeah.
You like that?
I like that.
Yeah.
It's the tactical aspect. It's fine.
Yeah.
But...
And then they spin the cage, and then they release him. And if he can walk straight... No, that doesn't work.
You're getting it too much.
It's a good idea, though.
But I think that if somebody says that and say, okay, either you walk off this game and get a 1-match suspension or a 2-match suspension.
And then they shoot him. But
I still believe... And I'm still shocked that this is not implemented since I first mentioned it, because I thought it would go like like a fire spread like a fire,
like a hailstorm,
like a hailstorm.
Saying that you've made up that no one's ever heard of. Yeah,
I think it's the saying. I said hailstorm, and we didn't find anything. So if somebody else have heard it, I'll be very, 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 very pleased to hear your reaction. But I'm still shocked that that doesn't occur. That if you get a red card against, like, I play Arsenal, I get a red card once, especially is against Arsenal. I think that is absolutely crazy that that didn't catch up.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you've changed the game.
No, but that is logical.
How about the video technology again? I watched the England-Slovakia game. Skrtel, very unlucky to be sent off.
But what is he doing?
But when then Walcott got the goal right towards the end, it came off. It actually came off Sturridge, but it looked like it came off the Slovakian defender. And then you could just see the referee just looking over at the linesman going, fucking help me out here. The English press are going to kill me. But then, and then the goalkeeper messed about. And then some extra time played on the injury time. And Allardyce, you lucky fucker.
Yeah, I was lucky. I think that, okay, they didn't deserve to lose the game. But considering they were, Slovakia were down to 10 men. And what they, and they missed a lot of, like, half.
Shocking play from Skrtel.
What is he doing?
He's
already on the yellow as well. He could have, that's like a straight red.
Yeah, yeah.
To begin with, that's a straight red.
Yeah.
But when you're already on a yellow, there's no point. He's lost a free kick and he's still, that is okay if he was annoyed that he got hit first, but he didn't.
No.
He just fair and square lost it. He couldn't get it around him, and then he could have injured him.
Deluded.
Yeah, the years in pool made him deluded.
But England getting away with the victory. And the whole thing about Rooney, how he said, Allardyce has come out and said, well, he's more experienced at international football than I am. He's sort of been given a free role.
He didn't even say this. I don't tell him where to play.
Yeah, but then he said, but he did play a lot deeper than I thought he would.
Yeah, so, but he ran the game, so it doesn't matter.
But it's this thing. Can you see him in 2018 at the World Cup? No, he's never going to be there. So it's time to cut Rooney off now.
Yeah.
You know.
It's definitely, I mean, first of all, I think Allardyce made some shocking changes that wasn't positive for me. I mean, not changes, I would say.
Yeah, yeah.
He took over Hodgson's team and basically just thought, well, you know, the team is fine. I'll just make them play better.
Yeah.
That's simple.
And it was the classic thing of they were living in fear from France, you know. They were playing with fear. I thought he looked good.
Stones, I think he will reap super benefits of being under Pep Guardiola. I mean, that will be a huge difference for him. I think for all the English players, you can see them when they play for certain.
Joe Hart, let's go.
Yeah, I think certain players just react very well for certain managers, and because we haven't had maybe the top in managers where the English players are, I think it's pretty sad. I mean, even when Hodgson said about Tottenham players coming from Pochettino, they look better this year than last year.
Yeah.
You have to say that both Dele Alli, Eric Dier, Harry Kane have taken starting positions now, which they didn't have last season. So if you know, Pep can do the same for some of the few Englishmen.
Yeah.
Great Sterling.
I thought Lallana actually had quite a decent game.
He had a decent game.
Walcott looked okay when he came on. But you're talking about Rooney in that position. He does it once a game, three times a game?
I think he does it 10 times a game. I think that's what he does during the games that people go, oh, he's really good at that.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare.
PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Position, because I'm thinking why he's good at that, what people see in that position. He doesn't dominate the game, as Aladaz said. I don't know what he means by ran the midfield, but ran the midfield is a player like Xavi and Pirlo. They run the midfield. I mean, ball goes through them, nobody gets the ball, they dictate play, they decide where the team is shifted, to the left, to the right, to the central. They decide that. Rooney decides shit, okay? He drops deep. That's what Rooney does. Rooney drops deep. He pick up the ball because he's not good enough technically, and he's never been really or anymore to be the number 10 role, get the ball like a target man, hold it and then just squiggle it perfectly like Kevin De Bruyne or somebody. He's not a Kevin De Bruyne. It's ridiculous. Or James Rodriguez, who can't even get out of Real Madrid. He's way better in that position. But the thing is, he drops deep and then he does this. He takes the ball. If he's more to the left centrally, he'll look up to his right and hit a 25-yard beautiful cross ball from left to right. Nothing. It covered space. Nothing. Doesn't go forward. It's a sideways pass that are higher. And he never opens up play with them. If he would open up play, all here and there he does, of course. But that's all he does. He drops deep and hits these long balls. Well, then play Carrick then.
Fucking
play Carrick. If you're going to have a player sweeping ball, are you telling me Rooney is better than Carrick of hitting 30-yard passing? Then you're a fucking idiot. Then you're a numb shit, and then you fucked Rooney and you loved it, and now you love him. It's absolutely ridiculous. He's an idiot to playing him there. And your point is the most valid point. In 2 years' time, when it's time for the World Cup, if he's going to play in that position, fine, you're grooming him. If he's not, you're killing that team.
Yeah.
You're killing that team if you're grooming him and then just switching him to drink water a week before the championship, or Dele Alli or whoever.
But you're not going to get better by playing Rooney in that position.
No, but I think he made that stupid mistake by saying that you know, he made him captain.
I think, but that's what England managers kind of do. They seem to have these players where, with Beckham, you know, Beckham, there was a point when Beckham was done and they continued with Beckham.
I don't think they continued too, but he didn't start every game, Beckham. He was in the squad. He came off the bench.
You can't just bring him on for free kicks.
No, but I'm just saying that Beckham, at least when he ended his career, it was like he wasn't a starter. He was in the squad because they needed a father figure. If they want Rooney to help the squad, if they want to, you know, give away one place out of 23 for the dressing room to be better, okay, if he decides that's better for the team, fine. I'm not there to judge. I'm not in the team. But to play him in field is something completely different. Beckham, when he was so important for the team, and he sometimes came on and could do something. If you're chasing a goal, 80th minute, you're putting in Beckham, you can get something. Well, free kicks, corners, penalties, whatever. You know that you'll put so much pressure in it. It's like you're putting up a big lad up front, a defender. It's the same thing you put Beckham in there. So I think maybe they at least had a choice. With Rooney, he's just forced in the bow squad. Hodgson, everybody agrees that he's not good enough to play up front. Everybody agrees he's not the best number 10. Everybody agrees he's not the best winger. Everybody agrees he's not the best central midfielder, even though he has to play in one of those positions. So what's the point of that? So he forced him in, played him in some kind of free role. What happened of that reaction was that they lacked complete width on the left. The only width they got was Danny Rose. And then he'll get exposed sooner or later because he can't just bombard up there back and forth the entire game. And that's what they do. They'll leave that for him. And then if they play Lallana up there as well, then you have two players who's not really wingers, and two players who's kind of number 10, and two players who will drop, and two players who will go into the opposition area. What exactly are you looking for? I don't understand his balance. They did get the win. It is a draw, would have been a decent result. But for the future, I just see, and this, oh, they got the win. You know that England's lost like three qualifiers. They haven't like lost a single game.
No.
They won them all. They draw once. They have the best record in qualifying.
Because
they're great against these teams. They're great against these shit teams to grind results out. And then as soon as they come into big championship, big players, they play the same shitty football. So I think he needs to really maybe he can play like Hodgson, but better. But I don't think they can have
talking of teams that are going to be struggling a bit. Sweden, I was actually just down in Drottninggatan in Stockholm, and they had the thing about you could buy a shirt for Sweden, national shirt, and then you got a free match ticket for tonight.
That's amazing. That's incredible.
It's ridiculous, isn't it?
I mean, how much? I mean, that means a match, and the ticket for the shirt was $390.
$399, yeah, for the shirt.
So that means that there's no tickets under 400? Otherwise, nobody will buy a ticket. Everybody will buy a shirt.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah.
I mean, that's. But is that because of Zlatan?
But there's a new manager. It's a new campaign. Maybe the whole.
I saw a little bit of the under 21 yesterday.
Yeah. They got a draw against Spain.
Unbelievable how they got a draw, because when the second half started, it was just. It looked like, oh fuck, Munir, Delafeu, wow, and then he scored a goal. That Delafeu is very frustrating player.
Mm.
He's very good. Feels like he's been around for years, and you're thinking, when the fuck is he going to have his breakthrough? But he's still young. He's not even, I think he's turning 23. And Everton plays him up front now, Koeman, and he played up front, kind of, in the game last night. So, interesting. Spain has got another new generation coming up, but the Sweden generation is cool. They refuse to lose. It's pretty nice.
But interesting, the new manager coming in, and he did the thing about the national anthems. He said the players should sing it. And that's why I was going to talk about the France Italy, where the French booed the Italians booed the French national anthem, and then Buffon, I mean, if you want to be as cool as he fucking is, just put his hands over his head, started applauding, and then the crowd started cheering, and then they took over the booing. Buffon's he's a magician, isn't he?
He's great.
He could make love to me if he wanted to.
He actually
did.
No. Yeah. Italy played the other night, and does he age, that dude? I mean, does he age? I mean, he went down and made a save against Israel, I mean, when they were coming back into the game.
Yeah.
Because they were Chiellini got sent off at 2-1.
Yeah.
So he scored 2-0, and he felt like, it's okay. Pelé always seemed to be good in Italian team. But then they scored 2-1, and then they got red carded. And then they had a great chance to score across the goal, and he just goes down in a split second and just diverts it. And you think, that looks like a 20-year-old guy.
Yeah.
He's fucking 40 now. I mean, turning 40. And he must be one of the best goalkeepers ever.
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, he must be. He must be up there. He must be up in top five or something. Because look at his career to start with, to begin with. I mean, what a career he's had. Mm-mm. I mean, number one since he's 17, 18. And yeah, it's just an amazing goalkeeper and a great personality. So good for him.
But what do you think about the national anthem? Do you think Sweden should have to sing it?
I don't think anybody has to sing if you don't want to sing it.
Wow, okay, American. American footballer who sat down.
No, but I think the American footballer.
That's the end of his career.
I think he had an extremely good point. Yeah, he had a great political point, but that country is a fucking bunch of idiots who can't. I mean, you can have political leaders who lie to them and steal billions, and he says something real, and they fucking torture him. And I think he's correct with his assessment. He said, listen, I think this country where I'm supposed to represent is a racist shit country for us, and they treated us bad for years and still treating us bad, and I don't want to sing. He didn't sing, and he got shit for it. Somebody else in the Olympics didn't put a hand over the heart for the same reason, same shit over there. So they're nuts. They're nuts. They're nationalistic nuts. And everybody.
There was a basketball player who sat down. It was the finished his career, basically.
Yeah, I mean, couldn't
get back up.
I mean, the problem is that 50% of that nation are Trump supporters. You know, if it's not Trump, it's some crazy Bush or shit. And that part doesn't tolerate anything. Who's not completely American, non-Muslim, non-black, non-Chinese,
guns,
non-whatever. Their idea of a great society is a bunch of white dudes with guns.
Yeah, yeah.
That's perfect. It's safe and it's clean. it's genetically safe and clean. So they'll, of course, but...
I'm allergic to racism.
I think the normal liberals in this America, whatever country, would say, what the fuck, sing if you want to sing, shut up. I mean, in Europe, they have games, players don't sing, nobody reacts all the time. I mean... When you look at the players, how many of them...
It came from the whole Zlatan of not singing.
Well, he never sang it,
though. Yeah.
But I think if you look at players, I would say the most don't sing.
No.
Maybe they're like a little bit... that's not singing if you're just moving your lips just tiny, like you're mumbling it. I mean, even I've done that to songs I've never heard before. So, you know, that doesn't say shit. You know, sometimes you sing along with songs you never really heard. And you think like, yeah, I might get it. You won't get it. You don't know. You can't get it. You can't guess it. Like, I bring a picture to your eyes. I can't believe it was correct. I mean...
So Sweden, Holland tonight, the Netherlands. Sweden, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting for the Dutch as well, because they're really...
Oh, they have to. They have to win. They have to win the tournament.
Yeah. But like failure to qualify. Yesterday, Iceland got a draw at the Ukraine.
A good draw as well. Ukraine missed a penalty in the end.
Yeah.
So it's a good draw. Another good result for Iceland. Don't stop.
Sweden.
What do you think it's going to be?
I think Sweden, the way that the manager plays, I think he's going to play old school, and he's got Lagerbäck in with him. You know, he's helping him. So I could see them going back and trying to play their old ways.
Do you think Lagerbäck will officially be part of it in a year?
Yeah.
Like he'll be a two-teamer with him?
No, I think the guy's he's just going to be behind him, just every now and again whisper in his ear.
Yeah, but then he'll be in the games.
Yeah.
On the bench.
Yeah.
Really?
Well, he's there now, isn't he?
Yeah, but it's not a permanent thing, is it?
It's kind of, he said he's mates with him, so...
Yeah, when I read about that as well, it's like, what the fuck does that mean? I mean, you're there, but you're not there. You're the old coach of Sweden in like two straight spells. And now you're kind of...
You're just popping up.
Oh, hello. It's like Alec Ferguson would go to Mourinho like, what's up, man? Yeah, I'll just come in here and have a chat with you. Then do that instead. I mean,
it's like Bill Cosby just turning up at a... Okay. So we will have another podcast. We didn't talk about the transfers, which was the Sissoko going to...
Tottenham.
Yeah, had the plane ready to take him to Everton, refused.
Yeah, nice to hear.
So
he did a billion.
Yeah.
But for the right team this time. No, but I think we were bidding for him before as well.
Yeah.
So I think it's weird to say that Tottenham hijacked Sissoko. I mean, they hijacked him first.
Yeah.
We were bidding for him. They kind of went straighter, like, listen, we're just going to bid this. And then Levy finally got his shit out of his ass and said, fuck, they're bidding for it. Okay, we'll bid for him as well.
Yeah.
But I think he always wanted to come to Tottenham. And to be honest, I think if you look at his position, of course, he'd rather go to Tottenham than play in the Champions League.
Mm.
He's 27. And I do believe that his style of play, we can only just hope that they'll flourish under Poch. But I do think it's strange that if you wanted that kind of a player, why didn't they buy Mane straight in the early in the transfer window? Because I think for the money... Mane is a better buy. He's so much younger. He can give you a couple of more years. What you will probably get with Sissoko is a bit more of a direct winger play than you will from Mane. Mane is a bit more forward.
Yeah.
And I don't think Pochettino really saw him as playing instead of Kane.
Yeah.
So I think he wants Sissoko to just be able to play in the, you know, one of the three positions. And he was straight on. It was early to see the three first games of the season as well that we've sold all of our these penetrative wingers, Aaron Lennon, Townsend, they're all gone, you know. And even if you put Pritchard in there, whatever, these quick wingers are gone. The one we have is Dele Alli, Eriksen, Kane can play number 10, Lamela, none of them are really quick. Mm. So Ngea went back to Maché, and Kodo came in instead, who's a quick winger, and then Sissoko. So I think he kind of got everything he was getting, basically. And then we got another reserve keeper. So he bought everything he needed. I think there's a lot of team missing a few positions. I think Liverpool will feel very unfulfilled. They got good players, but they didn't once again rectify the balance of the team. Moreno is still the left back with no real option, because now he's playing Milner out of position as left back.
Quite funny how Balotelli's agent just called him a piece of shit, Klopp. Like, treated him really badly.
I think that Klopp maybe he decided beforehand that they didn't want him, which is fine.
Mm.
But I think his attitude since he has come to Liverpool, to be honest, both and the loan, has been good.
Yeah.
He hasn't done anything outside the field. No complaints on the field or on training. He just hasn't been good enough for to play. But he doesn't need any stick. He doesn't deserve any stick. I don't think so. He's paid his price for what he's done. Quite harshly, I must add. Yeah. I mean, he hasn't killed anybody. He hasn't kicked his teammates during training. He's just been a bit nonchalant and young. And, you know, a bit. He hasn't done these really stupid things. To be honest.
He really needs to do something now, though.
Yeah, but now I think it's weird. Since he stopped doing the controversial thing, it's like the whole fire went out as well.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe he needed that stingy fireness. But I think he's, when he goes, I think he's going to resurrect his career to something okay.
Mm. Talking of returns, David Luiz.
What the fuck happened there? What the fuck just happened?
Amazing.
What the fuck just happened? I think the first time he came from Benfica, we were thinking, oh, he's an erratic defender, but a lot of people are after him. Paid a lot of money for him back then. It was almost 30 million. 23 or 24 maybe it was. But add-ons, I think it would come up to 30. We thought, that's a lot of money. Plays there 2-3 years. Kind of cult status amongst the fans because of some goals, but also very erratic. They get something of a fucking ridiculous. When he went to Paris Saint-Germain for like 50 million, that was one of the most shocking transfers I've ever seen, because it wasn't that they bought him. It was the sum was insanely crazy for a player that a lot of people don't even rate.
I mean,
a lot of people really like him, but a lot of players think he is not good at all.
Yeah.
So you don't see that with like a striker for 50 million to go like, I think it's Aguero is a great striker. Now, you know what? He's just lucky. I mean,
yeah.
So them to buy him back for 40 million. Wow.
Very interesting. I mean, like.
But I think he suits Conte better than he did the other. I mean, Conte likes to play. He likes to play a bit like Klopp and Poch and stuff. Tempo. It's high. I think he understands that he can't have Cahill and Terry all season. He needs a quicker defender, and he maybe wants an erratic defender, which is weird because he's so tactically, you know, constricted, Conte, but he probably sees something, and he'll probably be able to use him on the fullback role as well, because he did sell Babar Rahman as well.
Yeah.
And he loaned two.
They got like 38 players out on loan, haven't they, Chelsea?
Yeah, 38 players over 19, and they got 154 players. Mm-hmm. No, they got a lot of. They're playing Football Manager.
Yeah.
I play Football Manager that way. You have so many young talents, you can only register 25 players. You don't want to sell them because it'll be too cheap. You loan them out until they get even better. You get a better price for them, or they actually come back and take a spot.
That was an interesting one as well. We'll finish on this. Yaya Toure not making the squad, the Champions League squad.
Yeah.
And it's what you said, was he brought in Bravo.
He brought in Bravo, sold hot, so he kept Caballero. But meaning he did that was that he had one Englishman left, especially one on the own products list. So you need to take another player to fill that in. They actually didn't fill all the quotas in there, because if you don't fill it with 8 players, you get lesser players. So if you have only 6 players, you can only register 23 players. Mm. And then you can register the rest of them over under 21s if they've been in club 2 years, blah, blah. Okay. So what happened, if he then sells hot, includes Caballero instead, that means that he has one spot less, and that is Yaya Toure. So in practice, he rather kept Caballero in the squad than hot and Yaya Toure.
Yeah.
Which I find... It's not baffling, to be honest. It's more baffling for me. What the fuck is Yaya Toure doing in Manchester City?
Yeah.
And what the fuck is Yaya Toure's agent's problem?
Yeah.
He's a lunatic.
It's like that's, you know, that thing of like some of the players that have been left behind, like Mourinho.
Yeah,
like, what do they do now? You know, like... Because the loan thing goes now, you know?
No, they can still go out on loans. You can loan players when the window is shut, but they can't loan it to another Premiership club.
Yeah, exactly.
So that means that he can't go to Premier. He can go to Championship, but you know that's kind of degrading. Or he can still go to like Russian or something like that. Who's a transfer window opens. Some of them can loan, but yeah, basically it's over. Basically he has to wait to January if he doesn't decide to go to a championship team, which he won't. Schweinsteiger at least is playing in the league. He's not in the Europa League either, but he had an active choice of either you go or you just fight for a place. And he said, I'm going to fight for a play with passion, I think. Torre, it's quite obvious what's this going on. It's money.
It's
been money for 3 years, and that's it. Since his agent first opened his mouth with a birthday cake, he's been dragging his name down the shit for 2 years now. What the fuck is his point? He hasn't got him a better contract. He hasn't moved him to another club where he has still a contract and playing. And he's not playing. So, nothing. The only he's got is that he's got his contract, which he still would have had is just shut his fucking mouth up. And maybe, he could have at least gone on loan when somebody paid his salary. So, some of these... I mean, Mina Raiola, whatever you say about him, he seems to be an arsehole, but he's fucking efficient and gets what he wants from... He gets the players where they're going, except for Balotelli didn't get it. But he's been getting great until now.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at all of his agents, look at where they went. All of them went where they wanted to go. So at least he might be a bastard, but he knows what the fuck is doing. Yaya Torre's agent is just a fucking idiot. He's stupid. I'm sorry, he's a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
Asshole.
Prick. So that's it. We'll do one on Friday because we've got to review the some big derbies this weekend. Huddersfield, Leeds, top of the table. It's all going to come down to shit. Why did we have an international break? All stopped all our momentum.
Are you watching any of the games tonight?
I have a gig, I'm afraid.
Okay. So I was going to give you a little assignment otherwise.
Okay. So enjoy your football. We'll be back very, very soon. Is this 147, 148? We don't know.
It's 148.
Seizure.
But where is your gig, by the way?
It's a company gig.
All right, don't go to that.
No. But I'll talk about Nora Bruin on Friday when we do the pod on Friday. Any questions? If you don't agree with video technology, get in touch. If you think Rooney is really, really good for England, get in touch. Do the people have to sing the national anthem? Is Adil 14 or is he a Freddie Adu? Get in touch and just keep contacting us on the Facebook page or download the Acast app, and we'll see you very soon. We'll try and get a few guests in as well.
And if you don't get in touch, you can go to town and touch us.
Thank you.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.